Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome today. You can join us here at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. You know, yesterday we had on a bunch of members of the House of Delegates, two of them here from Baltimore, two from out of here. We had Mary Washington and Sean Tarrant. So we were supposed to have Mike Miller, President of the Senate, join us because that's where a lot of the issues seem to live. If he doesn't, we don't get him in the next few minutes, we'll go to our next guest who wrote this incredible article, Edward Wyckoff Williams, who is MSNBC political analyst and correspondent. And he wrote this really remarkable piece that Justin Levy, one of my producers, found this morning and shot over to us called Don't White People Kill Each Other Too? And it really is a scathing look about what the media is doing with all this issue of black-on-black crime and how it's being used as an excuse not to deal with the issues at hand when it comes to Trayvon Martin. And apparently Zimmerman is going to be charged, it looks like, with manslaughter. I'm going to check the news and see if it's been charged yet, but the latest was he was going to be charged with, is going to be charged with manslaughter, not murder one. They'd have to go to a grand jury for that. That's another story we'll deal with when we talk to our next guest. But a lot of the people have looked, going back to the General Assembly here, President Mike Miller, you can join me here on that or anything else at 410-319-8888. It really felt like, and I will ask him this if we get him on the air here today, it really felt like this was a stranglehold by the gambling interests. Now, whether you're for or against slots or for or against casinos, that's a debate to be had, and we've had that on that debate many times in this program over the years. That notwithstanding, it felt like the power of that lobby, the power of that multi-billion dollar wealth was there, that it was there and holding the budget and the General Assembly and the Senate hostage, in a sense, by not letting the bills go through because they wanted to make sure that we have full-blown casinos where most of the money is going to go into the coffers of folks from out of the state, huge corporations, and people like Senator Mike Miller say that it's going to be money coming to the state. Well, we're going to see about that. We'll see if that's really real. If we get him on the air, then we're going to ask him that question. And if you don't get him today, we'll get him next week. But so you can join me here, 410-319-8888. I think that we'll probably move on and try to get our next guest on the air here in a few minutes, Edward Wyckoff Williams. One of the things he's saying, well, let me vamp on this a little bit and see what you all think. I thought his article was just really, really clear. I mean, what he is saying is that all these conservatives, George Will, gets up on this week on ABC on Sunday, Washington Post columnist George Will, conservative thinker, brilliant guy, but conservative thinker. His quote was, 150 black men are killed every week in this country, and about 94% of them by other black men, trying to divert the conversation. Well, the reality is that white-on-white crime exists as well, as he was talking about in this article, 85% of everybody in this country who's killed, who is white, are killed by other white people. But we don't talk about white-on-white crime. We just talk about black-on-black crime. That is kind of a real, and it's picking up steam now, I think, with a lot of the conservative press and straight press. You know, one of the things he points out in the article we'll talk about when we get him on the air here is that he says that The Guardian in England, the major newspaper in England, actually bans, does not allow them to use the word black on black crime. We have Mike Miller, so we'll go there first, and then we will come back with our other guest. Senator Mike Miller is here, of course, President of the Maryland State Senate. Welcome, Mike Miller. Good to have you on the air with us.
Sure. Glad to be here.
So, a bunch of questions. We had four members of the House of Delegates on here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The budget crisis we're facing in Annapolis, the crisis or the lack of ending the session with a budget from both houses to agree upon,
right,
was laid at your doorstep, was laid at the doorstep of the Senate.
Right.
Do you keep it there or do you put it somewhere else?
Well, I'm not into name-calling or finger-pointing, but, you know, who are the members of the budget of the House Committee so I can tell you if they were any stick whatsoever, you know?
To tell you who they were, is that what you said?
And who were the members of the House? I mean,
we had four members on them. We had Tom Hucker here. We had Delegate Riccio on from the Eastern Shore. We had Delegate Tarrant on. We had Delegate Washington on from Baltimore.
Okay. Well, none of those are all four friends of mine, but none of them were involved in the decision-making process in the House. We have, you know, budget committees, and we have conference committees, and, you know, working with the Speaker, myself, and as far as I know, none of those people named were involved in any of the budget conferees from the House. So they wouldn't be aware of what was happening.
Well, let me say, there were two quotes, and I'm curious if they're contradictory or there's quotes and how you parse them.
Right.
One was in the Washington Post that quoted you saying, "We just ran out of time," or the Sun, "We just ran out of time. There's nothing to get angry about. I've seen it before. It's happened before. It's just part of the legislative process." And then the Post quotes you as saying, "I've been here since 1966, and it's never happened."
They misquoted. What had never happened was extending the session past 12 o'clock midnight the same day, you know, you adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before when I was a staff person, they would move the clock back to like 15 after 12 or 12:30, and the Court of Appeals said that was unconstitutional. And that's something that's never been done. That was the issue.
Okay.
I said I've been there 60. What we did, we had the special session in 92, and I participated with the governor and speaker and helped resolve the thing. They misquoted on that.
So the public perception here is that the interest in the state who wanted to expand gambling held our budget process hostage.
Well, you know, there's a couple of liberals in Baltimore City who would like to put that out there. And in fact, the fact of the matter is, you know, I had the liberal posture. I had the liberal proposal. I mean, I've dealt with you, you know, for a long time. Your opening day show, and you're fairly progressive, you know, in your ideas and things of that nature. Well, I'm not as liberal as you are, but I believe government can work, and I believe it has a role to play. And I'm the oldest of 10 kids. All went to public schools, and all went to land grant colleges. And government has a role to play, like we did in the environment this year. Passed a flush tax. We passed stormwater management fees. We dealt with septic tank. That's government at its work. I mean, provide healthy air, provide clean water, and to healthy soil. That's what government can do. Okay, but you need resources to do that, and taxes, as unpleasant as they are the dues you pay to belong to society. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said that, and other people recognize it. George Washington went to war over that. I mean, you know, the people didn't want to pay the whiskey tax, so he got on his horse and got his people, went up to Massachusetts, and said, "Look, you guys got to pay this in Pennsylvania, so you got to pay this tax." And so. What my proposal was, the proposal of my committee, I supported the governor's proposal, but the committee said, "Look, I don't like that proposal. It takes away people's right to deduct the interest on their mortgages. You know, their homes are underwater now, and they're worth less than they can sell them for, and the only thing that keeps them in their homes, they can deduct the interest on their mortgages."
Right. I agree with you.
And so the committee says, "Look, let's do something else. Let's repeal the tax cut we put in 97. In other words, we put a tax cut in 97. It's pushed by Ellen Sarabry and others, and Governor Glendening supported it. We reduced everybody's income tax by 2% across the board for 5 years. And so it was a 10% income tax cut. And so basically what my committee's proposal was, let's put this tax cut in back. And in fact, the lower people in the lower end will be paying less than they were in 97 because they still have all the deductions and exemptions we passed since then. Okay, now what that did, it raised $400 million. $400 million. Now we have a billion-dollar deficit. Every senator from Prince George's voted for it. Every senator from Baltimore City voted
right.
for it. It was a very progressive, very bold move. And that was our budget. We balanced the budget, and we dealt with 70% of the deficit, the billion-dollar deficit. And we also provided for the opportunity for people to vote on a gambling initiative, where most of the people would come from D.C., Washington, D.C., and Virginia. So that would take care of the remaining $300 million of the deficit, and so it solved the problems. And we passed that over to the House very early in the session. The House was tied up with the gay marriage issue. They spent a lot of time, a lot of capital on the gay marriage issue, and so they didn't focus on the budget until very, very late. And when they focused on the budget very late, they could only come up with a few votes. None of the people you mentioned before were involved in the process because they would have voted for the $400 million.
So
the House, they were only able to come up with $150 million.
Look, I understand all that, but I guess what I was asking, and listen, I'm agnostic on the gambling issue. I don't care one way or the other.
I am too, but here's the issue. So the issue is there a different, can you split it in the middle? Can you find it somewhere in between? So as of Friday, as of Monday, the last day of the session, at 7 o'clock, there were still these odds apart, $250 million apart. That was at 7 o'clock on Monday night, and you want to blame me for holding up the session?
No,
that was 7 o'clock.
I'm not.
No, I know you're not, but you hear from four fine friends of the House of Delegates who weren't involved, the conferees. If you call up Senator Casemeyer, the chairman of our budget committee from Baltimore County, or Senator Roby, the former county executive of Howard County, who's also in the conferees, or Senator Madalino from Montgomery County, or Senator DeGrange from Anne Arundel County, or Senator Vern Jones from Baltimore City, they will tell you exactly what I'm telling you is true. And that as of 7 o'clock Monday night, there was not an agreement on the budget.
So why wasn't the session kept? Why didn't you keep going until after midnight and until you resolved it, whether it took a day or two? Why wait until a special session is called?
What I just told you before, it's never been done before, ever.
I know it hasn't, ever. But...
It's a dubious constitutionality. It's never been done before. Everybody was hot. We were still $250 million apart on the budget. So we said, look, let's just... And so what happened is we came up at 11:30, and it was the middle of a filibuster.
So let me ask this question, Senator. So then what happens now? I mean, the governor has no choice. He has to call a special session if he wants.
Well, he doesn't have, he does have a choice. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can say, listen to me, the budget is balanced right now. The budget is balanced.
But on cuts.
And it was done intentionally. You understand that? So that people would recognize, what the consequences are of not raising revenues. And so this is what you're going to get. This is what, people of the Tea Party are screaming for. You want a balanced budget? This is it. It means cuts to government. Deep cuts to counties, to schools. Anybody with 2 cents of a brain doesn't want to cut our schools or these counties this way. So what you need to do is find a way to avoid that. And the way you avoid that is come up with revenues. Like I say, we came up with revenues in the Senate and the House. They're just hugely different, and hugely different in terms of funding government and dealing with the deficit.
So what I'm asking you, though, I mean, you sure the governor has a choice to make, but he doesn't have a choice in some levels because he as the Democrat espousing what he says he espouses, can't allow that to happen. So you have to have a special session to iron this out. You expect the governor to let this ride? I don't think he'll let it ride.
I certainly hope he doesn't.
So what do you think? What will make it different in the special session at $100,000 a day than it would doing it beforehand?
Well, legislators don't get paid any more or any less, and I don't know if it's $100,000 or what. I mean, we want to minimize any cost. But like I say, what you need to do is people expect legislators and governors to work. I mean, you get up in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, go to work, and work till they got the job done, then go home. Work on behalf of the people. And that means what it means is hard work. It means begging, pleading, cajoling, asking people to do what they should do, letting having to be asked to beg, plead, and cajole to get them to do it. And to come up with a progressive plan for the state of Maryland that solves the state's fiscal crises and moves the state forward in a positive manner. And the Senate I'm certain I'll work hard. The conferees, all those five people that I've named, will work hard. We'll bring the people together and we'll make positive things happen.
So if you're a betting man, when would you bet that this session is going to take place?
When would I bet it's going to take place?
Yeah.
It's going to take place whenever the governor calls us. I mean, the speaker and I could do that on our own, but it would be very disrespectful
right
to him, and I'm not sure the results will be any different than they were on Monday night.
So, it's just, and very seriously, though, and I assume it's going to be called, I think most people assume it's going to be called, what do you think the resolution is going to be?
Well, we have plenty of time. It's got to be done before July 1st.
Right.
It's got to be done, and it will be done before July 1st. The three of us respect one another, and all three of us, in my opinion, are honest. I know I am, and I know the speaker is, and I know the governor is, and just put our elbow grease in, hard work, sit down, talk, and move forward, and bring the leaders in the House, leaders in the Senate, and then decide exactly what you want to do. Like I said, 92, it took several days, but we did it. It was hard work. And everything we decided upon was like 24, 23, 25, 22. But we got it done. And the people were very happy. They were very appreciative. They saw government work in a positive way. And they could see that happen now.
Senator Mike Miller, it's always always a pleasure to talk to you. And we're doing the session. We'll come back at you and see what's going on.
Well, I would always enjoy talking to you, man. In fact, we got rid of those little cigars all because of you. You know what I mean? You want tax motive business. And that's what we did. We heard it on the Mark Steiner show, and that's what we did.
Take care, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Senator Mike Miller, we're about to switch gears and talk about...